Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey! Welcome to the Sip and Chew show on this kind of gloomy, but it's going to be a fun day. St. Patrick's Day.
It'll be a fun day to be inside watching the SEC championship game.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, it ain't looking good for box out today.
This is well, not box out probably weather. Probably for not a lot of events, and I know that a lot of things were still planned for the day, but they did cancel the Arts and Crafts Fair for Sunday today in Fairhope. That's sad. I hate to see that because I always liked going on Sunday, do my thing on Saturday with St. Paddy's Day, and Sunday I like to go to the Arts and Crafts Fair, but I won't be doing that
get
today.
Get your culture on.
But I may, you know, I'm not a big basketball guy, but I think I am going to watch that today, the Auburn Florida
game. Get ready
game
for March
for
Madness.
The SEC championship.
And what's funny is it does not matter who wins the championship game today in regards to the NCAA tournament.
This is just an automatic bid. You get it automatically.
Well,
but
these teams are in.
Yeah.
Anyway. And honestly, most of the brackets were set up by midnight last night.
Probably so, yeah.
And that, there's been a lot of call that the SEC needs to stop playing their championship game on Sunday because the winner gains no advantage from winning.
And they're tired.
Well, they get a ring.
They would start the whole tournament one day earlier. It would be Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Right. Well, they get their SEC championship ring. They get their banner hanging up in their
right. And that's what it's about today. Yeah. It's for the player. It'll be intense. It'll be battle worthy, but it will not affect the seeding in the tournament. Yeah. Auburn has earned a 3 seed.
Yeah,
they could push them to 4. It would be wrong if they did because they're 4 seed means you're one of the 16 best teams in college basketball,
right? Mm-hmm.
Well, they're ranked 12th, and there aren't 12 teams better than Auburn in the country.
Not this year, no.
There's 5 or 6 that are on that level or better. Auburn's the only team in the SEC that the numbers say stands a chance of winning the national championship this year.
Well, I think Auburn's proven themselves pretty well. That's a bad ranking to me.
Yeah. Well, since Pearl's been there, it's been good. Yeah,
it's
really
been a great conference this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all came in third through some weird tiebreaker stuff. But you know, Tennessee was first, then you had essentially 4 teams tied for second.
Right.
So the seeding was determined by these tiebreakers. And Auburn finished 4th. And by the first day that those top 4 played, Auburn was the only one left.
Right.
Okay.
Kentucky lost by 10, Tennessee lost by 10, and Alabama got smoked by Florida from the very – it looked like Alabama quit in the second half. Like they had resigned themselves, let Florida win it.
We're done.
Yeah. But and then Mississippi State had a great run. Texas A&M had a great run. You putting that Butch Cassidy's cup there on the camera? Well, no, we don't have to talk about him. No. And it's been great. This is a great time of year for food.
Oh, isn't it, though?
With one thing in particular, chicken wings.
Chicken wings.
This is the chicken wing time of the year. Because that's what people eat at.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
I can remember watching March Madness in Nashville with my buddies, and we'd go to Hooters and spend the day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and like my buddy was a UMass fan, and they played before then. I was a big Kentucky fan at the time. UMass played, and then Kentucky played. So we spent 5 hours at a Hooters, eating wings, drinking beer, and watching basketball.
Yeah.
And I wish Mobile had more of that basketball culture, because Nashville's a huge basketball
city.
Yeah. Vanderbilt has always had a good program, although they've fallen off in the last decade.
Pensacola's got a pretty good, you know, pretty good backing of basketball over there.
Yeah.
They got a lot of military.
A lot of folks
from other parts. Yeah. And that's why a lot of places do so well over there.
Right.
And that's why they still have hockey over there. And
right.
And but you speak of Hooters. That brings up a subject I'd like to talk about later on in the show, about how these restaurants, these type restaurants that were hot and big for the longest time, are all dying off.
Yeah, they're disappearing. They have reached the natural end.
Yeah.
is what it comes down to. And that's with everything.
If there's a beginning, there's an end.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Like anything.
And what matters is the middle. Don't worry about the beginning. It's always going to be sunshine and puppy dog farts. And don't worry about the
glittery.
End.
Glittery.
The end is always going to be stepping in a dog turd.
Yeah.
You know, the, everything in between, that's what matters. That's, that well, goes it, with relationships, too.
So what you're saying essentially is how do we create the wave to where, you know, you keep bouncing from new to new to new to new?
Then you don't experience true happiness, because if you don't have the downside of it, you can't appreciate the upside.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. You gotta, but those silver clouds or pink clouds, you want those all the time.
So tell me, tell us all, not just tell me, but tell our audience, what you had on your menu for St. Paddy's Day.
Well, what I was going to be serving, and it did well yesterday, the Ruban.
Okay.
I got three briskets and boiled them. So you may have a chance this coming weekend to try the Ruban, since I'm likely not going to be open St. Patrick's Day. But I got some really nice, It took me a lot of running around to find a rye bread that I like.
Yeah.
And most rye breads, grocery store rye breads, are really thin. Most of our bakery stores don't make rye bread.
Really?
Yeah.
Sound like in the Jewish rye. I love the Jewish rye.
Yeah, the Jewish rye. I will tell you, the best rye bread I've ever used is the rye bread that Arby's uses for their rye. It's a marble rye. It's a half inch thick, just like Texas toast. It's got the softness to it that you want, but it's firm enough when you toast it. It's a great rye. And it's essentially what I used at Lucky when we were there.
I've had a Reuben on a pumpernickel.
Yeah, that's a rye. The difference between pumpernickel and rye is the sugar that you use to activate the yeast. It's sugar in our Jewish rye, and it's molasses in pumpernickel, which is what makes it brown.
Ah.
Yeah, but it's used for the leavening agency. So, yeah, and a marble rye, which is what I like to use, is Jewish and pumpernickel twisted together. The two doughs are weaved together to make a marble.
I've had a sandwich like that up in Chicago.
And also sandwich one like with, that at Lucky with, when I was there.
With pretzel bread.
Yeah, it's great pretzel bread, but I wouldn't do a Reuben with it.
Yeah.
Because you need the caraway seed. You need that rye flavor. That's all part of the whole Reuben experience.
Fiber. Need that fiber.
Yeah. And rye is a really good bread for that.
Yeah.
Especially with the caraway seed in it, any of the rye grain that's in it. It's a whole grain.
Yeah.
It does still contain gluten. So if you have issues with gluten, rye is just as bad for you as white bread.
Thank goodness I don't.
Yeah. But
I feel for those
but
who
it
do.
It's healthier than wheat bread, because most wheat bread, to make wheat bread so that most people will eat it, they have to do so much white bread to it that it's essentially just white bread.
Right.
Yeah. If you get a whole wheat bread that you're not a big fan of, that's probably healthy.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works out.
Oh.
But and the other one that I did, the other special, was from the old Lucky menu, which was the Irish Channel nachos. I used that same Cajun corned beef that I boiled all day Thursday in the crawfish boil. A little bit of bacon.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, and I made a cheese sauce very similar to the old beer cheese soup that we did at Lucky. This was a Kerrygold Dubliner cheese. That's an expensive block of cheese, son. But I shredded it all up, made a cheese sauce with it, finished it off with a 12 ounces. This is what I had to get. Yingling Lager. It's a fine beer.
Great beer.
Because I could not find any
The only
Irish
American-owned brewery.
Yeah.
The only
truly American.
True owned American owned
Yeah, but
brewery.
The best thing that ever happened to Budweiser was being bought by the Belgians. Because they brought in that Belgian
style.
Dedication to beer.
Absolutely.
It's
I love Belgian beer.
Yeah.
Can't you tell?
They say in Belgium, there is a brewery for every citizen. It's that big a deal.
Wow.
No city, no nation takes beer as seriously as Belgium. So, you know, yeah, be nice if it's still American made. Hey, would have been nice if the Americans that owned it had the same dedication to beer that the Belgians did.
I was about to say, because we were talking earlier about quality versus quantity.
Yeah.
And, you know, Americans really are good at more quantity rather than the quality. They don't take the time to.
Our food lifestyles tell us that.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, the Europeans have a great reason to drink. All they've been through of all the wars they've been through over there.
All the wars they started.
Well, they got finished too, but they have a good reason to drink.
Well, they got finished when America came in and sewed things up. By God.
Here we go.
251-343-0106. It's the Callahan 78th anniversary St. Patrick's Day party. Call in line.
You need a few more words.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, welcome back. And we want to thank a few people for their help with our show. We want to thank Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy. Saw Tony yesterday having a good time. He just got back, and his crew just got back from the big motorcycle thingy in Daytona.
Oh, that's where I knew he did a motorcycle thing, and I'm so pushed for time. I went through and I went, is Tony at Sturgis?
No, he was at Daytona, but his motorcycle broke down.
Oh,
what I was told. So anyway,
I bet there were people there that could help.
There probably was. But I want to certainly thank them. I may be making a stop there in a little while. I need to get my coffee on.
Yeah. Well, it is St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, yeah. It is. And I want to thank Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meats. I had some Hall's Cajun Smoked Sausage just this morning. And now I don't really make an omelet. What I do, I make a scrambled omelet.
Yeah.
And I cut up all my vegetables.
It's just a scramble.
Yeah. I chopped up my Hall's Cajun Smoked Sausage and put it in there, and it was delicious.
Let's revisit this because I got something I can.
Okay. And I put some cheese in it, too.
Yeah.
And we want to thank our friends over there at Butch Cassidy's.
Mike, Roy presented
Where'd you get
me
that?
From Roy, Christmas present. This is one of his thermo insulated mugs with. Mm-hmm. Celebrating 30 years. It's just something he had done up just for the 30-year anniversary. Folks, this ain't the Magellan Yeti knockoff from the Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is solid. It's got a metal straw that came with a cleaner for the metal straw. And I've got those at home.
Some of those at home, too.
He gave it to me like
to punch
months ago
at
Christmas time.
I almost put another nostril in my nose one time because I wasn't paying attention. But,
you not paying attention?
Not paying attention. I do want to mention the fact, go back to Callahan's.
Yeah.
I was there yesterday. I was in search of a perfectly poured Guinness, which I found two of them. And great crowd. Beautiful day, great crowd. It was the 78th celebration, St. Patty's Day celebration.
At Callahan's.
78. That's amazing. Amazing. And they had a very well-behaved, and they always have a well-behaved crowd.
How big would you say? What do you think?
I don't even. There's some pictures. It takes up like
ridiculous.
Four streets.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And
it takes over a neighborhood.
Parking all
oh, well,
that.
It's a block party, right?
It is a block party.
Yeah, that's what a block party is. Yeah, you block off
right.
several streets.
Today won't be as big of a day because it's scaled down.
Yeah.
Plus it's raining.
Yeah.
But usually, I think they try to do it on that Saturday of St. Patty's Day.
Give you time to you recover until Monday. That's what.
they need a day to recover. They need a day too.
Yeah.
I haven't heard. I don't know if they're going to close Monday or not.
Yeah, they should.
God,
After year one at Lucky, we were like, "Hey, we don't need to be open the day after St.
Those
Patrick's
poor
day.
People. I know they worked their butts off,
yeah.
and I hope everybody tipped them very well. But that's amazing. 78 years in Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah,
and they continue to get awards all the time. Mentions. You know, best hamburger, best this, best that.
Yeah.
And the fact they had three taps on Guinness pouring, and that was just inside.
Wow.
And it took a little while to get a drink, but that's okay. That keeps people paced.
Yeah.
You know, kept me paced, and I had two and went home.
Yep.
So, because I was tired. Tired. And as I get older, I'm finding that I can handle crowds. I used to love crowds. And I can tolerate so long in a day, and then I'm ready to go home.
The only crowds I have ever really enjoyed are college sporting event crowds.
Mm-hmm.
The pro games that I've been to, the crowds are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been to a college campus. We've been to South Alabama game.
Yeah.
Even when they were out at Ladd, it was still a good atmosphere. And rock concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed those crowds.
Yeah.
Don't really care for – I like to see those crowds. I like to see downtown – Mobile full of people for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Whether I have a business down there open or not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be sitting at Sims watching fireworks on YouTube, but I like everyone else to be in downtown Mobile having a good time.
Yeah.
It's just not my group.
Just behave. Just behave yourself.
Now, you were talking about your scramble that you were doing.
Yeah.
The Italian version of the omelet is called a frittata.
Frittata.
Far easier to execute.
Okay.
Easier than scrambled eggs. Scramble your eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're putting in it, pour it into a skillet, put the skillet on there, and let it cook for a few minutes. Don't stir anything.
Yeah.
Let it sit for a few minutes, still liquid, shove it into a 350 oven until it sets up.
What I do.
And then you could cut it in wedges,
yeah.
Michael, like a slice of pie.
Or like a quiche.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And well, which is a pie. Custard pie, to be specific. But and have one slice every morning for breakfast. You make your breakfast one time. And then heat up a slice or two. I mean, if you're just eating the frittata, you can go with two slices.
I saute, and I caramelize my vegetables, and then I I've already cooked the sausage, so I put the sausage in there, cut it up, put it in there, and then I crack my eggs in on top of that.
Yeah,
and then I go ahead bust the yellow, and then I let it cook, and then I flip it.
Mm-hmm.
To the other side. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
FM Talk.
Wow, that was fast. Oh, okay. That's why it was fast.
But I enjoy that. I mean, I enjoy it. It's easy to fix.
Yeah.
I mean, I cut my teeth at IHOP when I was a teenager. So I made the old traditional Mile High City omelets and all the different other types of omelets. And it's, they're pretty and all that, but I like it all. I call it a scrambled omelet, you know.
Yeah.
Potato and
I have another dish for you.
Okay.
Egg dish, breakfast dish that you can set up. When I did Atkins years
ago. And do tell me, because I've been eating more eggs than I ever have.
When I did Atkins, I would make my breakfast for the week on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the little ramekins, the little individual lasagna dishes that had rubber lids. And I just make them all up, put them in the refrigerator, and every morning get up, throw one in the oven, and go get in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
This is a English dish called shirred eggs, S-H-I-R-R-E-D.
Mm-hmm.
Rub a little butter on your ceramic dish. Throw you some Swiss cheese down there. Crack a couple of eggs on it. Pour some heavy cream around it.
Oh.
Salt and pepper. Shove it in the oven. 10 to 15 minutes.
You just like shoving everything in the oven, don't you?
Yes. Yes. It's great because it's controlled temperature.
Yeah.
Cooking from all the way around. Pull it out sooner if you want to run a yolk. Leave it in a little longer.
Can I use my air fryer? Because the reason I say
know.
That.
Give it a try.
The reason I say that is because I've got my top of my stove covered with a noodle board that I had set my air fryer
but
on.
But the sheared eggs go in the oven, remember?
Yeah.
You don't need the stove for them at all.
Well, no. They vents.
Oh,
over
oh.
The back eye, it vents.
Does it have an oven setting? Because I have a feeling with it. Try it.
It does.
The air fryer may make it crisp on the outside, which you're trying to avoid.
It does have an oven setting.
But what you're going for is that heavy cream will clot up. You're just you're not stirring any of this together. There's no stirring required.
I'll have to read the calories.
And then once
on
you
the heavy
get
cream.
The heavy cream is going to be a lot of calories, but it comes from fat.
Yeah, I'll have to.
Yeah, and you may. And it doesn't. It's not like you're pouring a lot on there. It's going to be like a tablespoon at the most.
Okay.
Just enough to kind of fill in the gaps around the egg. And like I say, the whole thing just bakes like that, and then you just eat it. But then once you get the technique down, you can start tweaking it. What I gave you is the very classic shirred eggs with Swiss or Gruyere in there.
Yeah.
Then go back, use cheddar instead, add a little ham to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got that Denver omelet thing going.
There you go.
You could put you some onions in there. Some sautéed mushrooms and spinach would be very good. And just, you could play with your flavors, but get that sheared egg thing. Now, like I said, I bought four lasagna dishes with rubber lids, and on Sunday night, I would make sheared eggs for the first 4 days of the week.
Wow.
Have them in the refrigerator, just pull it out, take the lid off.
I need to think about that because, see, like at night, I'll go get some frozen Asian vegetables, stir-fried vegetables.
Or the California blend is good,
or that, and I can just make that on my little burner eye that I'm using right now because of my diet.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's just I just caramelize everything. Cook my protein ahead of time, chop it up, put it in, put eggs on it, and that's what I've been like eating at nighttime. Just makes it all into one.
Yep. And keep in mind, salsa, fresh salsa, not the jarred picante sauces. Those have added sugar. They've been cooked. Fresh, like our good buddy Tony Tejas salsa. It's a good fresh salsa. It's healthy.
Yeah.
And if you have a diet that doesn't allow fresh salsa, you have a bad diet because there's nothing bad in it. It's tomatoes, onions, cilantro. It's all vegetables.
Yeah.
Packs a lot of flavor. You don't need much of it, but salsa and eggs are fantastic together.
Huh.
And all you
that
need
makes
is
sense.
A little teaspoon. If you like Tabasco on eggs, there are some people put ketchup on eggs. And I'm sure there's someone chained up in their basement right now, too. But if that's what you like.
Put the lotion on.
But a little bit of that acidity from like a hot sauce or a salsa is great with eggs. It really was because you've got a fatty. I mean, you're eating a lot of fat.
Yeah.
That is what the yolk is. It's mayonnaise, y'all. That's mayonnaise in its purest form.
Well, when we come back, I want to ask you about the yolk.
Okay.
I got a question about yolk. 251-343-0106 is the Callahan Irish Social Club 78th St. Patty's Day anniversary.
And you can text us your dad yolks.
Yeah. You're such a yolk.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Okay.
Back, Michael.
I had mentioned before we went on break about...
You wanted to crack a couple of yolks.
Well, sometimes I don't always want the yolk or need the yolk. And what else can I do? Can I freeze the yolk?
Absolutely can. I learned that from my grandmother from the Depression era.
Mm-hmm.
If she was making a recipe that only called for yolks, she would freeze the whites.
Okay.
And then she would have plenty of whites in the freezer for a meringue. If she was making a meringue and didn't need the yolks, she would freeze the yolks.
Okay. But I'm wondering how long they'll keep.
Months.
Well, because sometimes, you know, like some things I put in the freezer, they develop a moisture or wet content when they thaw out.
Yeah.
Adding.
Well, yeah, they're going to pick up. Yeah, they're going to pick up. But I mean, this is a pure fat, so if you added water, it's going to be on the outside because water and oil don't mix.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And if it does, it's just water.
Okay, now I know
but
what
to
do.
You can freeze your eggs, your egg whites, your egg yolks. You can freeze a whole egg. It's a pain to peel.
But I like when I bite into a sandwich or something with an egg on it. And that yellow just runs down my fingers.
Like I said, throughout mayonnaise that sandwich. In its purest form.
Yeah.
Because when you make mayonnaise, it's mostly egg yolks. Some recipes call for three yolks and one whole egg. Some are just yolks. Mm-hmm. And then you put that into whatever you're going to emulsify in, usually a blender. You add a little bit of vinegar or lemon juice. The purpose of that is the acidity in it kills any bacteria that might be alive in the egg. With it being a raw product.
Well, I know when I made avocado toast, where I took the avocado and egg and
you made avocado bread.
Avocado bread, yeah, yeah. Right.
Avocado bread, by the way.
I was impressed.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna plan on. I've got some more avocados. Just wait for them to get to ripe.
Yeah, put them in a paper bag and they'll ripen faster.
Okay, yeah. I think I felt them this morning. I think
they should be black.
I'll probably do that tonight.
Be completely black.
But I think I don't put mayonnaise when I'm. I made me an egg, a bacon sandwich one night out of them, and but I let the egg be my condiment.
You also let the avocado be your condiment.
Well, it's built in, so
yeah.
I ought to get some on. Just take one and just spread it on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That'd be good. Great butter substitute in that way.
Mm, yeah.
So, we were talking about something else. Oh, I was talking about the mayonnaise process.
Mm-hmm.
The vinegar adds, that kills any bacteria that may be in it, any salmonella, anything you may be worried about. That's
right.
The purpose of it. The vinegar, lemon juice. Then a little bit of usually dry mustard. It's used there not as a flavoring, but as an emulsification agent. An emulsification agent, because we just said water and oil don't mix. They do if they're emulsified. And to emulsify them, you need an emulsification agent, which is something that's going to bind with the water and with the oil. And act as a glue to hold them together. That's the purpose of the mustard. You put all that in the blender and you start it whirling, and then you slowly drizzle in oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, what you're doing is you're whipping air into the oil, turning this polyunsaturated fat closer to a saturated fat. So it sets up the egg yolk also being a saturated fat, adds to that. And you just whip it till you get that volume that you recognize as mayonnaise.
Whip it good.
That's how you make the flour. And that's what mayonnaise is. It is raw eggs emulsified with cooking oil.
All right. Earlier you were talking about Hooters.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's Hooters in around anymore.
Yes.
More about three blocks.
That was still there.
Yeah.
I know the one in Daphne's gone.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the IHOPs disappear, except for this one up here, the one in Tillman's Corner.
Yeah.
O'Charlie's. I mean, these things that have been around forever are starting to disappear.
They're running their natural course.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I know some people, they employ people. Well,
they do, but those people can go work at the next place.
The next place.
Yeah. There's always a next place.
Well, this one here is, we have it on good authority. This old Charlie's right here by the station is going to become a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Not just any old Mexican restaurant. It's from our friends.
Yeah. Some friends we have that do great Mexican restaurants.
Wonderful, because they've grown a big.
They're true American industry. Success story.
They're owners of Los Rancheros.
Yeah. They I've seen some of them who own their own restaurants now, and they're still in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Start out as busboys.
Well, you know, not more than right around that same corner.
Mm-hmm.
Where the old Charlie's that you're talking about, there is a Mexican restaurant right there.
That's different. Well, this one right here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but they used to, they used to be booming.
Well, that was El Chico's.
Yeah, El Chico's, yeah.
Now, that's a hard intersection to get in and out of.
Yeah.
But I think that was originally a Bombay Bicycle Club.
Yeah.
I know it was one time, then it was something else.
Billiards right next to it.
Yeah, it was a Daryl's for a while, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't
it?
Or was
the
Daryl's?
No, Daryl's is down here. Daryl's went in the old.
It went in where the Bombay Bicycle Club
was. Yeah.
And then
Bombay
the place
was where
was downtown.
The Bombay Bicycle Shop is where O'Charlie's is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then it turned into an O'Charlie's, because O'Charlie's used to be
that was
over here where this crab place it was, and then it moved, and I said, why are you moving to the worst?
Olive Garden.
There for decades, and it did well.
By the Olive Garden, yeah.
Yeah, and behind the Olive Garden. And I said, the Olive Garden brings people in, but I ate my words because they were there for decades here on this corner.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know the exact numbers now, but, you know, I waited tables for a little while at this Olive Garden in the early 2000s, and it was the busiest restaurant in Mobile, city of Mobile, which is a sad testament to Mobile.
Well,
20
I know,
years ago.
When I first got in the wine business 38 years ago, that was my biggest customer, and they got wine orders twice a week, and they were getting anywhere from 60 to 80 cases a week of wine.
Wow. Yeah.
It's huge. It was huge.
Yeah. But
and
their numbers now, compared to what they were 20 years ago, they're not doing half the business they were. And that's because Mobilians have grown up. We realize there's good Italian food out there. Olive Garden is just there.
But it serves a purpose for those.
To go someplace that treats you like family.
What's the one right down the street now from them? Carrabba's.
Another chain.
I prefer them personally.
Yeah, I just saw a friend of mine from here.
And Macaroni Grill, too.
I just saw on Facebook this morning, a friend of mine ate at the original Carrabba's in Houston yesterday.
Really?
Last night. The original one.
Wow.
And
I've eaten at Cracker Barrel number 1 in Lebanon, Tennessee. That's how they pronounce Lebanon. Tennessee is Lebanon.
Yeah. I ate the first Whataburger that was established where?
Oh, no. That's history.
Yeah,
because I don't like Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, Whataburger was in the same city as Farrah Fawcett was born, Corpus Christi.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's awesome.
I have a question on the text line. Michael Need, or Neil, rather, says, best empanadas in Mobile?
Best what bananas?
Empanadas.
Empanadas? I don't know.
You know, we're on this foodie site, Stu and I are, and people say, who has the best this? Who has that? And said, it's all a matter of your personal taste.
Right.
You know,
I'm trying to think of who's doing empanadas. Maybe El Milagro on Old Chill Road, which is Central American food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But any Latin American place is going to have a version of empanadas. And then for people who don't know, it's just a hand pie. It's a lined American ham pie that can be savory
it's
or
like
sweet.
Like a meat pie?
Yeah.
Like crawfish pie?
What you're going to find more here is a Nacogdoches meat pie at a Rouse's, which is either going to have pork or crawfish in it. But I'm trying to think, but look at your authentic places, not a Tex-Mex place.
That's what I would do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I say, El Milagro would probably have that. I know Las Catrachas doesn't at Box Out. They may at their other restaurant. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But look at one of those kind of places, and that's where you'll probably find your best empanadas. I wish we had a Mexican bakery because that would do it.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mexican bakeries are cool, too. Their pastries are really strange. They're not moist, but they're not dry. They're not gooey. They're not super sweet like they are here in America. And a lot of them are made with corn flour, too. But Mexican bakery, well, we used to love going to them in Nashville.
I'd get out there and just try different spots. And,
yeah.
And if you're not on that Baldwin County Foodies, get on there and ask who their favorite place is that they've had.
There's a place there in Loxley.
Mm-hmm.
Is it El Patilla? But they do a lot of really
El Pasita.
Yeah, El Pasita. They may do it. And also right next to us here, Taqueria de Mexico. Mm-hmm. They may have empanadas.
Hmm.
I don't know. I love it.
I'd like to know myself. So when you find out,
let us know.
Let us know.
You can't really have empanadas right
now. Well, I can't right now. So, but I will soon.
Yeah.
If I can get back down to my weight to where I need to be, where I wanted to be.
Yeah. I do enjoy good empanadas.
I do. But I'm the same way with crawfish pie, meat pie.
I'm okay with crawfish pie. The Nacogdoches pies I found a little overwhelming.
The lady.
Underwhelming.
The lady at Magnolia, Magnolia Bakery over in Agricola, Mississippi.
Agricola, yeah.
She does the sweet version, but she also has savory. And they're just.
Go get those.
They're just empanadas. That's what they are.
At school, we used to have what we call beer rocks. And I'm wondering if they're the same thing. Are you talking about meat pie? Beer, they'd basically take a bun and it would hollow out, but they'd seal it. They'd put beef and not sauerkraut, cabbage and some seasoning in it. Oh, man.
It's very.
And it was like 4 inches.
Eastern European, Polish, or Hungarian.
German.
That sounds good. Yeah. similar to pierogies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called a pasty or a pasty.
Okay.
Michigan.
This is something you put the dollar in. Yes.
This is you're going to find this in Michigan, Chicago, lots of Michigan, Wisconsin. Similar to a pierogi, only on the inside it is ground beef and mashed potatoes and maybe some English peas mixed in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look here.
Let
me see if I can. I'm just going to pronounce her first name, Rochi.
Oh, Roshi.
Roshi, I'm sorry.
Or in Japanese, Roshi.
Roshi. I'm not going to say her whole name because it's like almost the whole alphabet.
Yeah, well, it's everybody she's ever known. It's part of her life.
I love when chefs talk about science. Roshi, he is our in-house Alton Brown.
You know, she's a friend of mine. She lives.
Okay.
That's my friend in Cleveland.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, I got cousins up there.
just nod and say
it's
cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Tell them you know me. Eric Gray saying Sims. There's probably some good empanadas in Sims somewhere. Do you know who would have it there?
That might be the little, I don't know the name of the truck that sets up in the parking lot at Dollar General because we're high class in Sims.
You're all fancy like that.
Yeah. I suppose Pedro's has it on their menu. I've been there one time and I don't remember seeing it.
No,
they don't. No.
But yeah, that food truck. I hadn't looked because
I thought that they were the same ones that come down to Box Out. I think it's the same. I thought that they were the same.
Oh no, that's not Las Cruces. That's Mexican food at Dollar General.
Okay,
Box Out is Honduran food.
That's there, but there's they go when they have their food truck Friday or whatever.
Yeah.
They've
done Sims.
I haven't made
Las Catrachas has taken their food truck there.
I haven't made it.
They
up
do the soccer games on Sage Avenue too.
Yes,
on Saturdays.
Yes.
But
that might be the place to go because I bet there are lots of Latin American foods there being sold. You'll find that all across the U.S. at soccer fields. Andrew Zimmern, Travel Channel, says the best place to eat Central American food is at this soccer game in Long Island, New York. And he said every country has a booth set up because they just live in the neighborhood. 251-343-0106. What is that, Mike?
That's the Callahan's Irish Social Club text and call-in line.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us, Mike.
That is us. Hey, we want to... Oh, let me get my headphones on, right? Or my head fell off. I don't know.
You need your headphones on to call yourself out. Good grief.
Well, it's kind of weird. One of them's over my nose.
That's a good look for you.
The other one's under his arm.
Anyway, we want to thank our fine friends over there at Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy. I hope all them folks are sitting outside get in soon because it's going to be moist out there.
Mm-hmm.
So Fat and Happy, corner of Fat and Happy and St. Francis and North Jackson.
Yeah, fat and happy. I know that part.
It's going to be wet North Jackson. So anyway, we want to thank the Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. Had some this morning. Loved it. Really kicked up the flavor of my.
Had a lot of people try. We had a drama competition, convention, whatever you want to call it, at Sanger Theater. High schools from all over the Southeast. Clemson had some people here. Charlotte, North Carolina area.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean Springs High School was here. And they hung out at Box Out all week. So why we had such a great week. Every day is these high school kids and drama teachers coming over.
They love that Mac.
Well, all of it. They enjoyed Las Catrachas. They had Smacks and D's. They love Chicken on a Stick.
Mm.
It was a great little hangout for them, the artsy type.
Right.
They were so nice. They were really so nice. And a bunch of them got to try Hall Sausage for the first time.
Ooh.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
It looks like Wi-Fi issues.
It looks like. Yeah. And we want to thank Butch Cassidy's over there at on Flo Shell. And the mayor of Flo Shell, of course, is Roy Sewer.
Yeah.
Hold
the Buy you
up.
Some Butches, so, y'all.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate your help. Yeah. So let's go ahead and go to Cookie. I love to always hear what Cookie's got.
Cookie, you got us a sauerkraut recipe?
Honey, it is St. Patty's Day, you know?
Are you eating corned beef today?
Well, no, I'm not doing corned beef, but, I just had an inspiration while I was waiting for y'all to get to me. And I think I've got some up with the recipe that I might have, but I'll have to do it, and I'll give it to you next year, okay?
Okay.
But this one I discovered decades ago. And another one of them flashes of inspiration, speaking of which, it's beginning to thunder over here out in the Stewart's territory, if you know what I mean.
West
and so it's about to open up some as far as the rain. First of all, blessings to my grandmother and my grandfather. She was the Irish part of it. He was the German part of it. And blessings to all the people that I worked with in all the Mick bars that I worked, bars and restaurants, including the extremely famous Dubliner, where I was in management, up on the hill before I moved back to Mobile. I'm thinking about all my Irish friends, all of y'all, the Dubliner, the Four Peas, the Brown Derby, you know, yada-da-da-da.
O'Flaherty's Irish Channel Pub, which was the greatest Irish pub in the world in New Orleans before Katrina took it from us.
What was?
O'Flaherty's Irish Channel Pub
on Toulouse
Street.
One of the guys who was a co-manager there with me left and went there. But I'll have to tell y'all some of the colorful stories about him off air. Okay.
Oh, colorful off air.
Including PG-13. His Gaelic name. I'll have to do it off air. But anyway, the recipe, you ready? You going to write this down now?
We can just play it back later.
Yeah.
This is a great one for doing inside on a rainy day, and it's a St. Patty's Day. It's inexpensive. It's very easy. It only takes a few minutes. Now, if you've got a pressure cooker, that's what I used. That's how I came up with it. And because that's just what happened. And it was a really old one. You know, the old ones with the, you know, the rubber rings that
you have
to put back in it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, you take cabbage, you chop it up, not too fine, and you throw it in the bottom, and then you don't. I think I put in a little bit of water, but I don't think I put in much. I don't think I put in any. I think I just opened up a can of sauerkraut and poured it over the top.
So cabbage two ways.
The cabbage, the Irish on the bottom, and
the German next.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, I think that.
Go ahead, Cookie. I think her connection kind of got.
Yeah, I think the storm may have gotten her.
May have storm blew her away.
Yeah.
Hope not.
I was intrigued. I was waiting for the next layer.
I was waiting for the punchline.
Yeah, it looks like we've lost her. If you
so,
want to go ahead.
Call back if you can, yeah. Cookie. But
no, the show's almost over.
Oh, okay.
Call us back next week. Tell us how to finish
it.
There's your cliffhanger. Now you got to tune in next week.
But
I love technology.
Well, real quick, since it is St. Patrick's Day,
yeah.
Corned beef has absolutely nothing to do with the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Who came up
with that silly idea there?
The Irish. what they ate in Ireland is not corned beef and cabbage. It's bacon and cabbage. But it's not bacon like we eat here. It's collar bacon.
Right.
It's uncured, unsmoked. So it's just it's like an fresh ham, basically, stewed in with the cabbage till it gets tender. When Irish immigrants moved to New York City, they couldn't find collar bacon anywhere. We all had smoked bacon. But they found this thing at these Polish Jewish restaurants called delicatessens, called corned beef.
Mm-hmm.
And they started using the corned beef in the cabbage instead. The Reuben is even further removed from Ireland in that it was invented in Nebraska. And it was a dude that ordered this at his local sandwich shop, and his name was Reuben.
Okay.
So,
seriously?
Yeah. So it has nothing to do with that. But it is an Irish-American tradition to eat Reubens and corned beef.
Tell us real quick about what you know about Irish bacon.
Were you talking about the collar bacon we were talking about?
No. Irish bacon, it comes from the back of the pork pig instead of the belly. I just found it yesterday, and I posted on it. And of course, all my friends who from the Northeast said, oh, yeah, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
My friends have been to Europe. Oh, yeah, that's big over there. It doesn't have enough fat in it. It doesn't get crispy.
Yeah.
It never gets crispy, regular bacon.
It's essentially tenderloin.
Yeah. And from pig, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But people kind of compared it to Canadian bacon.
Oh, boring ham. Ham without the good part, the fat.
Yeah, you can't get it crispy.
Yeah, because that's what Canadian bacon is the, mm-hmm. It's the tenderloin, which is the muscle that runs across the top of the spine. You have it on a cow, you have it on a pig,
right. Mm-hmm.
Anything that's we've probably got a tenderloin. Chicken has tenderloin. That's what you get at Fusaclis. And it's just a muscle that goes across the top that doesn't get used much, so it's very tender. On cow, that's filet mignon.
Mm-hmm.
On pork and chicken, they just call it tenderloin. On cow, it's still tenderloin. The steak you cut is called filet mignon.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's very tender, but not a whole lot of flavor on its own. So
you learn something here. I learn something.
Every week.
All the time.
What's the most popular wine in Ireland? Style. I don't hear brand.
Whiskey.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Whiskey.
I bet they drink a lot.
I heard they've been making rosé.
Yeah, I bet they drink a lot of ports because of the high alcohol content.
I don't know, but
they love them some alcohol.
I'm going to say Guinness. Guinness is the number one.
And Steve was talking about an Irish and German heritage, which is what I have.
Yes.
And I always tell people half of me gets drunk, wants to take over the world. The other half gets drunk and can't even grow potatoes. And that's me growing up my
potatoes.
Entire life being told that Donald
Irish
was an
Rose.
Irish name, and then my brother does genealogy, and turns out we're from Scotland. Now, my grandmother, she was the James clan, as in Frank and Jesse. They were distant cousins. But that's all Irish.
Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Get out there and support these people that support us.
Yeah.
Tip your servers well. Servers earn your tip.
And above all, provolone.